victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. I know if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. I know if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. I know if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, oh, victory is mine. This joy is mine, hallelujah. This joy that I have is mine. Oh yes, this joy that I have is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, this joy that I have is mine. This revelation, hallelujah, revelation I have is mine. This revelation I have is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, this revelation I have is mine. Victory, hallelujah. Yes, victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory today, hallelujah. Victory today is mine. Victory today is mine. I know if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Victory today is mine. One last time, hallelujah. Oh yes, victory, oh victory. Victory, oh, victory is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory, oh, victory is mine. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Joanna.
Good to be here.
I just want to say, God gives us the victory all the time.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for that. I never want to not thank the Lord. He touches so many things. And I know, I was thinking, we got Luke's test back, and I know I put it on Facebook, but I just want to thank God for that.
Amen.
Because that's something I pray for every day, is for that boy. And there's other things I'm praying for, and I'm thanking God in advance. I know He's real. He's such a real God. And I'm just putting the word on it. There's times when the world would just give up hope, but God is our hope.
Right.
There's still, I'm just breathing life into situations. I'm just excited and looking for God to touch everything the way He's touched things so far. And I know we say you can move that mountain, and it's the faith that moves the mountains. Yes. God, there's nothing I can do myself. That's like, I love that song. It's like, I hold my peace and I let the Lord fight my battles.
Right.
Yes. I don't have to worry about it. I'm just thankful for this place and I love it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Crystal.
Good morning,
Father. Good morning.
Good morning, ministry. First of all, I come here humble, and I want to give God all the praise.
Amen.
I made it here another time.
Yeah.
One more time, and I am so grateful to be celebrating with my sisters and brothers. I also want to us to look out, and I know God has it, for our sisters and our brothers and our relatives and loved ones that are in Florida and South Carolina.
Yeah.
They have been through so much within this past week. But I know that God has it, and I put it in His hand.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I just want to say, if anything that I have done, I'm asking for repentance. I'm humble. I am very humble. And I just know that God has me. He has my family. And I thank the guidance that come here from our church.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Brother Warren and then Sister Joy.
You know, I just want to thank God that, you know, that job that I have, it brings people to me, you know, under unique circumstances.
It does.
For instance, this past week, you know, I was just sharing with Sister Crystal, this lady called. She doesn't work for the company that I support, but she called because her nephew from the Philippines came here to study. And he bought an iPad on Facebook Marketplace. Turned out it was a stolen or missing or lost device. And she called because on the banner, when she turns on the iPad, it says, call us. So she called. Her nephew paid $450 for her. Kind of tragic. But, you know, I had the, I don't want to say misfortune, but it was bad news to her. But I was telling Crystal, you know, those set of circumstances had to happen for her to call and touch, you know, touch God. Because basically, I felt for her. I really felt for her because she seemed like she had the right spirit about it. And, you know, she suffered or her, well, their family suffered a loss. And that, you know, this guy's still in high school. And I felt awfully bad for her, but there was nothing I could do. You know, the policy dictates that this device has to be returned, you know, no compensation, no anything. She's trying to deal with me, you know, saying, who do I talk to about? I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but, you know, that's out of my hands. You know, I have to report this to security, you know, and I truly feel for you. And then after that call ended, you know, I was thinking, boy, man, I got to blow some steam off. So I was telling Sister Crystal about it, and I go, you know, it's so tragic that that event had to happen. But that's what it took for that person to reach God.
Right.
You know, so God works in mysterious ways. You know, it's not always, you know, you just casually run into somebody and touch. You know, this, I really feel for them. But I told Sister Crystal, you know, God will remember that family, because you know they were involved in something, and you know, God's got it, like you know, and I come here just so thankful that I had another time come, and I was starting to feel this complacent spirit come over me because I missed Wednesday, and I missed song practice, and I could feel that spirit creeping, and I go, no, you're a liar. You know, I'm here. This is my home. I'm here to worship God. I got too much to be thankful for to let something like that creep in. You know, just one service is enough, but to miss two events, because we know, I mean, I thoroughly, in my heart, believe that the more that we gather, the more it draws, you know, that I feel that pull to assemble myself with the body.
Right. Yeah.
I feel that, and I believe it wholeheartedly. And so, you know, I couldn't make it. And so this morning, I could feel that spirit trying to creep in, and I said, no, you're a liar. So that the first thing I did was, you know, I said, well, I'm going to church. I'm going to make sure I be there, you know, my half hour before service.
Right.
You know, I'm black, that's Satan's eye.
Amen.
And so I'm here, and I just want to say thank you, Lord. I'm an overcomer.
Right.
I'm going to overcome this thing all the way until we go home.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Sister Joy.
Good morning, Bride of Christ. Before I sing, I have this experience this week that I just want to share with you guys. I'm taking care of this, you know, this 97-year-old old lady from West Carrollton. And that Friday, when I got there at 1, she's so ready to go somewhere, and I don't know that I'm taking her there. And that day, I do not want to go. I'm so scared because I never drive there. And she said, like, okay, you take me to Costco. I said, Costco it is. So I'm thinking, okay, I never driven there before, but I'm just going to, you know, follow the map. And so we got there, and I was so scared. And then I'm pushing her in the wheelchair, and I didn't know that she's got this long list in her hands. She wants to get this, she wants to get the tomatoes and everything like that. And I'm pushing her in the wheelchair, and I don't have a cart for her. And so I'm thinking, like, what I'm going to do? The first thing that she got is the tomatoes I put on her lap. And then the second one is she wants the insurance, she wants the proper towel. So I'm thinking, oh my God, I never been to this store, and it's huge. And I said, what am I going to do? I have the proper towel, I have the insurance. And you know what? I didn't know that day, like I said, I'm so scared and I don't want to go. But sometimes God just takes you places that you don't want to go. And then so I'm thinking, like, okay. So I prayed. I said, Lord, this is a big responsibility for me. If something happened to this old lady, I'm going to be in jail. You know, so I'm thinking, I don't want to kill her by myself, you know, myself too. So then I just go. I said, well, Lord, it's all up to you, you know. So I just feel like I'm not driving that moment. I just feel like, Lord, is it in the wheel of the car? I don't know. So when we got there, I said, oh, mommy, I don't know where we're going to put this stuff. And here's this guy right there across us. And he said, the car is empty. And he said, I have a question for you. How are you able to get all that without the cart and then you're pushing her in a wheelchair? I said, you know what, sir? Good question. So I said, what do you think? And so he said, well, since my cart is empty, I will put all your grocery in my cart. And does she have a list? I said, sure, I think she is. So the guy said, like, tell me what's on your list. And so she said, insure, tomatoes, this and that. And she does it probably now. I don't know either that this Costco looks like a Sam's Club that you have to be a member to be get this bulky stuff. And so she said, like, I only need, like, one paper towel. I said, mommy, there is no one paper towel here or something. We have to get this big thing. And she said, oh, I just need, like, one or two. I said, sir, we have a problem here, sir. She wants a paper towel, but she only have one. So the guy said, there is no problem at all. I will get this for her and this and that. Don't worry, just follow me. So we did follow. I follow him. And then we got to the counter. And so the guy said, like, okay, I will let her go first and then pay the stuff. My goodness, the guy just, you know, he gave her the paper towel and the insurance, everything like that. And so the old lady, so she said, like, she started crying and she said, like, I don't know how to pay you because you're so nice. So I said, mommy, I said, God will bless him for helping us. Right. And so the guy said, like, that's right. That's what he said. And so he said, like, do you have a computer? I said, yes, sir, I do, but it's at home. So he said, now you can have this flash drive, and then you can watch this at home because I have a Bible study and I'm a missionary. I said, well, sir, God bless you and thank you so much for helping me. And so then we left. Amen. And so I'm thinking, like, okay, Lord, now I understand that you took me here. That I'm so scared. I thought I'm going to die, but okay. This, you know, this police virgin just crossed my path.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, but I love God, and I love this place here, you know, that no matter what I go through, you know, I'm able to make it, everything like that, because of His word. And my soul is so anchored to His word. No matter what, no matter what happened, it won't shake me. If I worry, excuse me, sorry. I wouldn't give up on me by now. I would label me a lost cause, 'cause I feel it just like a lost cause. If I were you, I would turn around and walk away. I would label me beyond repair, 'cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. I used to hide. Every time I thought I let you down, I always thought I had to earn my way. But I'm learning you don't work the way. 'Cause somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. My shame can separate, my guilt can separate, my past can separate. I'm yours forever. My sin can separate, my scars can separate, my failures can separate. I'm yours forever. No enemy can separate, no power of hell can take away your love for me. Will never change. I'm yours forever. 'Cause you're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays.
Amen.
Precious chance to give God praise. This is a very unusual place. God meets us here. And I want to thank him. You know, sometimes you get up and everything that you thought you're going to say, it just leaves you. But I'm going to praise him because I want to say this. You have to speak it. So I haven't said lately, I haven't confessed my healing, which I have. He said I was an overcomer. I am. He said I was healed. I am. And I want to thank him because no matter how, he didn't mind getting his hands dirty. He didn't care how human he had to get, and there was nothing about it that he was afraid of. And I'm so thankful for that. Truly, Sister Joy, he is the God who stays. One time I asked him, I said, Lord, why don't you ever call me honey or sweetie or stuff like that? And I thought about the sweetest things he ever said to me was, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Right.
So all this time, no matter when I didn't know who I was, when I didn't know where he was or even didn't remember my name, when I messed up, when I stumbled and I tripped and I fell, he never gave up on me. Amen. He said, I would never leave you. And I said, Lord, for that, I am so thankful. Brother Jay, you were giving a testimony last week, and you were saying how thankful all the things that we take for granted. And I said, Lord, yes, I see that. To get up in the morning and to be able to move and to be able to praise and to know who you are and to have a ear to hear this is not something to be taken for granted.
No.
It's nothing to be taken lightly. And Brother Deskins, who knows, I could die, you know, but then on the other hand, we are exactly what he says we are. Amen. I'm here to do a job just as much as Jesus was here to do his job. And he's counting on me. He's counting on me. Right. Brother Mike, I come in today. I'm so glad to see everybody. And Pastor Moore said, don't come in here talking and carrying on a bunch of stuff. So I kept it together.
Sure.
And Brother Mike told me, he said, I haven't heard you sing. I said, I can't sing. And then, but then he said, well, what's wrong with that? He said, I never let that stop me before. So why should I stop now?
Right.
I feel like praising him, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get people in trouble because this is our opportunity. God is doing something through this body. Amen. You are a very special group of people. So I'm going to ask Sister Christy to grab that little piece of pipe that she blows on. And I'm going to get over there. We're going to play The Blood that Never Lose Its Power. She's going to kill me. We come to worship.
Amen.
Right. We don't come to be seen. No. We come to worship. Right. There's something inside of us, and it is God.
Amen.
And it's a testimony to the rest of the world. And you know what Brother Branham said one time? That man had gone around the world like 7 times. He was more obedient than I ever hoped to be. He lived circles around me, but he said these words. He said, if I'm ever going to do anything for God, I better get to crack-a-lackin'.
Right.
So let's go ahead. Well, he didn't say exactly that, but you know what I mean.
Better start now.
Okay, blood.
Amen.
Thank you.
blood that Jesus gave from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose.
The blood.
It will never. One last song, and I'm gonna get this announcement. We'll get Pastor Moore as well. So this October the 15th, we're leaving at 6 a.m. to go to South Carolina. Looking forward to going. So please, yes, sir.
Next Sunday, the last Sunday, you can pay your room. Okay. I don't want any money to get weekend.
Okay. So no money the weekend we leave. Have your dues paid by next Sunday. So what is the 8th, 9th? Whatever day it is. Yeah. So next Sunday, the 9th. October the 9th is the last day to pay. So that way we can have you on there. The church is taking care of a lot of things, so make sure we get that done. November the 20th, we're having Thanksgiving dinner here, so I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Looking forward to the services. I got some news from my father-in-law. He's going to meet us over there, so I'm excited about that too as well. It's always good to see people. He was like, well, you guys going to be in South Carolina? I'll stop by. I'm like, okay. It's a couple hours from him, but it's good to be there. Look forward to fellowshipping with the body on the way down. And then we're going to have a good time. It's, we always do. I want to sing When I Think About the Lord. It's the key of D. Yep. It is. Should be. It's a room full of believers.
Praise God. He's here. I feel him. I know he's here because you're all here. And when you come, he comes. And, you know, you don't have to be afraid wherever you go, because not only is God in you, but the angels are around you too. You know, wherever God goes, his angels go. I know I got a guardian angels, because there's too many times that I've been in scrapes that it was impossible to get out of without it. So, and I just want to say that today I've been married 30 years.
Oh, amen.
And, my wife deserved flowers to put up with me that long, because I have not been an easy person to live with.
Right.
But I just wanted to say that, and next month I'll be here 30 years.
Amen. Wow.
We got married, and a month later we came here.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And we've been here ever since.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. Appreciate you. 30 years. Also, I'd be remiss. I see Sister Andrea is here. God bless you. She was under the weather. It's good to see my sister. Amen. When I think about the Lord. Think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and he turned me around, how he's placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout. Think about the Lord. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he's filled me.
me with the Holy Ghost, how he's healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and he turned me around, how he's placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout.
About the Lord. When I think about the how he saved me, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he sealed me with the Holy Ghost, how he sealed me to the Jesus, we come this morning so thankful for health and strength and the ability to hear you in our right mind. We thank you for this body that's come together this morning to gather under your roof, under your table. Father, we ask you to move every hindering spirit that might have tried to hinder your word from coming forth this morning. Move it aside and come amongst us and speak to our hearts. Those that can't be with us this morning through sickness or whatever illnesses that may be on them, our friends, our families, ask you to bind Satan and, Lord, bring healing to their bodies, Lord. Continue to remember Trevor and his recovery. And, Father, I ask you to send a special prayer down to the Earlys in the situation that they're in. Father, we ask you to move in their behalf. And Lord, as we gather here together, they know that you have it in your hands. Ask you to bless them, comfort them, hold them up in these trying times. Ask you to take the words that we're about to open before the people this morning. The Bible's laying here open. Lord, we ask you to open our hearts and speak to us, Lord, so that we might turn around and give you the glory and the praise and the honor for all you've done. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. It's always exciting to be able to come here. It's always exciting to see what God has in store. It's always exciting to be able to see you. It's good to see you here. And I'm sure you're glad to see me. I'll assume that. Well, we got both spectrums today. I got to talk to Tina, and her and Trevor are home.
Amen.
Back in Kentucky. Continue to pray for him as his recovery is. He's had a lot going on with all the surgeries and things, so no doubt he's got pain and hurt, but you know what? God is a healer, and God has already seen him so far, and as the rest he can do as well. So just continue to remember him. And remember the Earlys. I talked to Sister Early yesterday, and the water has flooded their house up. The ground floor is just flooded, and they can't even stay there because of the mold, because, you know, it's not just water. Water comes in, mud comes in, it damages the house, and then after that, they're in Florida, the heat, it warms up, and I've seen what mold can do quickly. And she has breathing issues anyway, so she can't stay at the house. So just be in prayer with them. She told me yesterday that God's got it. It's devastating, and, you know, they built that house, and they've been in there a long time. And so just keep them in your prayers. You can't even really help them right now because you can't. I said you can't send them money because she said the banks aren't open. And so there's nothing that you can do greater right now than pray for them. And as opportunity avails itself, we'll see what we can do to help them out. So just keep them in your prayers. And keep Carolina in your prayers. You know, the devil doesn't want us to have this trip. I was going to call Brother Fred this morning, but forgot to do it. I was going to check on him to see, because some of the brothers that were coming to the meeting are in Florida. And so don't know what condition their homes are in, but pray for the people of Florida. Pray for the people of South Carolina. And, you know, it's nothing for me to see calamity happen around the time that we take a trip. It's normal. It happens all the time. We go to the Philippines. They had the biggest tsunami ever the day we landed. We try to go to the airport one time, and a snowstorm was so bad, we had to actually change airports and fly out of Columbus, and got in the van one time and was getting ready to leave town, get a call. And one of my workers had stolen our work van. And so, you know, calamity around the movement of God is not unnormal. My insurance guy always tells me, says, Nate, you never have a normal claim. Whenever I have to claim a claim at the insurance company, I've had vans burn up, cars wreck into my porch. It's just, you know, tree fell on the car. That went national. My sister called me from out of state and said she saw it in Iowa on the news. And people were literally driving around the block, coming from Dayton and everywhere to come just to see the mashed van with the tree on it, because the insurance company said I had to leave it on the van until they could come and assess it and make sure it really was a tree that hit it. So we had the city cut the trees. So the whole street was blocked. So the city came in and cut all the way up to the truck, to the van, cut all the street up so people could come through. And here comes the cars. And so, no, calamity is not something that I'm not accustomed to. And it doesn't surprise me that Satan is trying to affect our meeting in South Carolina. But if we're supposed to go, we're going. And Satan can't do nothing to stop it. Because as much as he tries to stop, God makes a way. But I just want to call Brother Fred to check on the brothers that are in Florida, because they too probably were in the midst of that hurricane, because I don't see how anybody in Florida couldn't have been. because it was wide enough to seem like it covered the whole state as it went up. So just remember the earlies and pray for them, and remember the body. Excited about the upcoming trip. You know, things are changing, things are happening, things are moving, and I'm excited about seeing what God's doing. And you never know what God's going to do for us. And just stay open and be willing to be the vessel that he can use, and then he can get the glory out of it.
Amen.
And so it's good to see you all back, those that are recovering from COVID, because it's still out there. Don't fool yourself and think it's over. It's still out there, but so is God.
Amen.
But as you recover from COVID, use wisdom.
Yes.
As you go through the day, use wisdom. God's going to force us to use wisdom in everything because things are so bad right now and all the way around across the board. So you just got to be, as Brother Baker used to say, be ready to preach, preach or die at a moment's notice. You just got to be willing and ready. And we are.
Amen.
Whatever God has in store for us.
Amen.
We don't whine over changes. We don't like them. I know I don't. I'm a type of person who don't like change. Change is hard on me. But, you know, when God makes the change, God always makes a way.
Amen.
With the change. So I'm looking for that. I'm excited about the message this morning.
Amen.
Excited about what I'd like to talk on today. Don't know where we're going with it, but God knows where he wants to go and what he wants to say.
Amen.
And I really thoroughly enjoyed Wednesday night service, Amen. Everyday Living, Brother Jeremiah. He hadn't preached for a while, and so he dumped it all on Wednesday night. And that's good. I was glad to see him at his post of duty, and he did an excellent job because, you know, Brother Branham said, Everyday Living, that's what this is about.
Yeah.
And I thought about that, and this is where I got the message from today, is from Wednesday night. And so if you want to turn with me, we're going to read a scripture, well-known scripture that we read a lot. And sometimes, you know, you might wonder why we read some of the same scriptures over and over. Well, it's because we're dealing with our day.
Right.
I mean, I could go back and read Genesis 2 and talk about Adam and Eve, and I could tell you about Jesus on Calvary. And I could tell you about the apostles and Jesus choosing them. And I could do those things. But how's that going to help you?
Right.
You know? So you say, well, I'm tired of hearing about our day in this message. I'm not. Tell me his name again.
Yeah.
You know, I never get tired of hearing Jesus' name.
Right.
So we read some scriptures because we want to bring you scriptures that's relevant for the hour that you're living in. To give you things that will help you. And not even so much helping you over there. I need you to get help over here. Because if you don't get help over here, you ain't going over there. So, you know, that's why we read some of the same scriptures over again. And if you get tired of reading them, that's all right. Just hold your peace until I get through. And then we'll move on from there. So I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter 17. And I'll read Luke 17, starting at verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they said unto you, they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning lighteth out of one part of the heaven and shineth into the other part of the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He's talking about that generation, 2,000 years ago. And as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat,
yes.
They drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I want to title the message this morning, Living in a Day of the Son of Man. And I wanted to talk about this because I thought we talk about it, but I don't know if people even understand what it means to live in the day of the Son of Man. Jesus said, you're going to desire one of these days. Meaning it's not every day that the Son of Man is available. It's not every day that you're going to have the Son of Man right where you are. So I thought about it, and I thought, what does it mean to live in one of those days? I mean, how do you even know you're in one of those days? I mean, we talk about Luke 17:30, as it was in the days of Lot and the Son of Man, but it's like, what does it mean to live in the day of the Son of Man? What do you have to prove that you're in a day? When do you turn to that day? Because remember, there's three, God came in three sonships.
Right.
Son of God, yeah. Son of David, and Son of Man.
Amen.
Not three gods, same God, one God.
Right.
Now, Son of David is Jesus, is him being king on the throne.
True.
And that's easy to understand. That's what he did with Jews.
Right.
But you know what? He's still going to be the king on the throne on the other side.
Right.
And Son of Man and Son of God are the only two options you have to see God. To find what God's doing. Now, if you're dealing with Son of God, which is what God was down through the ages,
right. Yeah.
Down through the seven church ages, he was an unseen force.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You couldn't touch him. You couldn't see him.
Right.
You couldn't prophesy with him.
Right.
You couldn't hear from him.
Right.
All you could do is guess at where he was.
Right.
And some guessed right and some guessed wrong. But it was they never were sure that it was God. They would testify that God has blessed them, and they will get anointed by God, and they'll say, God talked to them, God talked to them. And people even still do it today. God talked to me. But God's not an unseen force when the Son of Man is on the scene. That's what makes the difference between the day of the Son of Man and the day of the Son of God. If you don't see God or know God or can shake God's hand,
right.
You're not in a day of the Son of Man. As long as God's a mystery, as long as you still don't have answers, as long as you're not sure if you can even talk to him or not, you're living in a day of Son of God. And as long as you're living in a day of Son of God, you may or may not be talking to God. You may or may not be hearing from God. God may or may not be talking to you. You don't know for sure because it's the day of the Son of God. It's an unseen force. You're hoping it's God. You're praying it's God. You're thinking it's God. You're, well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. But see, Jesus was saying, you're going to want to see one of the days of the Son of Man, because when you get into the day of the Son of Man, you've got God in skin. The guessing is over. The hoping is over. The trying to figure it out is over. I mean, when Jesus was here, all you had to do was ask him. If you had a question, all you had to do was ask him.
Right.
You didn't need to really even pray about it. Why are you going to pray about it if Jesus is standing right there in front of you? When Jesus was standing there on Mount Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah popped up, disciples who were Trinitarians in their thinking, thought, this is a good thing we're being here.
Yeah.
We're going to build three temples, one for each of the gods. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. We're going to do this. And God spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him.
Yeah.
When the Son of Man is on the scene, you got to hear ye him.
Yeah.
When the Son of Man is on the scene, he can answer your question without you even guessing and wondering. See, we waste too much time trying to figure out if God's talking to us or not.
Come on.
We spend too much time acting like we're living under the age of the Son of God.
Right?
Because of the way we've always been taught.
You know that.
way it's always been. We always feel like, oh, let me go pray about it. Oh, let me go. Well, that was good in the age of the Son of God, because it was an unseen force. You knew God was out there somewhere, and if you prayed to him, he'll answer you. Maybe. Then when you got to answer, you got to figure out whether it's God or not. See, that's a hard place to be when you're under the Son of God. Because down through the ages, they were all under the Son of God ministry, and none of them knew all together whether God was hearing them or not. They prayed. Luther prayed he was part of this thing, but he didn't know. He prayed every day God was going to save him. God already had saved him. He's part of the body the whole time. But he wasn't sure. God didn't, it wasn't down there, and he was just groping, trying to figure out this thing. And the reason God had that whole Son of God ministry is because he was going to build a body and didn't want the devil to mess with his word. So he hid it and didn't let anybody know what was going on under the Son of God ministry. And the Son of God ministry is hard, because the Son of God ministry is iffy. It could be God or could not be God. God could be talking to you, or Satan could be talking to you. Because see, Satan talks just as loud, if not louder, than God. Because God's that still small voice. Satan likes to say, "Oh, hear ye me." So you have to figure out whether it was God or not. But when Jesus was here, they'd ask him anything. Went to the temple at the age of 12. Confounded him. Why? The word was sitting right in front of him. Amen. And when the word's in front of you, all you got to do is hear ye him.
Amen.
And Jesus was standing there with the disciples. Every time they had a question, he'd answer. When the Pharisees come up, he'd answer. See, they didn't have to go study. They didn't have to go read. They didn't have to go pray. They didn't have to do none of that.
Amen.
Because the Son of Man was there. Right. And Jesus said, you're going to long to see one of these days. Right. So we need to understand what it is to be in a day of a Son of Man. Because when you get in that day, it's different. You don't treat God the way you treated him in the other age. You don't approach God the way that you approach God in the other ages. You say, so in the day of the Son of Man, you don't pray anymore? Oh, you still pray. The Son of Man could tell you that. Yeah, he prayed. Say, here's how you do it. Our Father, which art in heaven. In other words, pray. Jesus prayed. God, take this away from me. It doesn't mean because you are in the day of the Son of Man that prayer's over. Doesn't mean that you don't take communion anymore. Doesn't mean that you stop going to church or, oh, I got enough God now. I am God. See, people are in a ditch on every area.
Amen.
But you know what? If they ask the Son of Man, he could tell them.
Amen.
So here in Luke 17, Jesus said, the day's going to come when you desire to see one of those days. They down through the ages desire to see this day.
Amen.
If this is the day of the Son of Man.
Right.
We got to find out what it is first. Right. I ain't told you what it is. So until I tell you what it is, you're still trying to figure out, well, are we really in the day of the Son of Man? What does it mean to be this day of the Son of Man?
Right.
How would I know I'm in the day of the Son of Man?
Right.
Got to know. If you don't know what day of the week it is, you don't know what to do.
That's true.
When my family, Melanie, is retired, we'll be sitting there talking about something. She says, well, tomorrow's Tuesday. And, no, it's not. It's Saturday. So if you don't know what day it is... And retired people, I found about my brothers and sisters, they're all retired, so they don't know what day it is. They just go. But you got to know what day it is so you'll know what it is that you're supposed to do in that day.
Amen.
If you don't know it's Sunday, you don't know to come to church.
Right.
A lot of people don't know it's Sunday.
Amen.
But you need to wake up to the day.
Yeah.
You need to know what day you're walking in. You need to know what day you're living in, because if you don't know the day, you don't know the requirements. Under the day of the Son of God age, he did what he did, and nobody knew how he did it, and where he was and what. But when the Son of Man comes, that is not a day of guessing anymore.
Amen.
You're supposed to know what day it is. You're supposed to know when the Son of Man is on the scene. You have all answers right at your fingertips. No more struggling. No more guessing. No more worrying. No more, Lord, if I could only get an answer. No more none of those things in the day of the Son of Man. It's the end of the struggling nature when the Son of Man comes on the scene, because you can now find out the answer to anything that you have a question about.
Amen.
When Jesus was here, he had an answer to everything. Nobody asked him anything that he didn't give him an answer. They didn't always like his answer, but he always answered. Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Word of God made flesh.
Amen.
Had a couple of questions here. It says, what is it like to live in a day of the Son of Man? What is it like? How do you know? How do you know you're in a day? See, we talk about, we just flippantly read over Luke 17 and say, day of the Son of Man. Because we know that's what the Scripture says. But how do you know you're in this day? If I had this a Bible study tonight and asked a question, if I just cut this off right now and just say, okay, we're going to come back tonight, we're going to talk about this. I want everyone in here to tell me what it is to live in the day of the Son of Man. How do you know when you're there?
Okay.
Some of y'all would be like, we're living Luke 17:30? That sounds good. Sounds good. You know, it's a scripture, using a scripture. But do you know, do you understand what you read? You know, that's the question. How do you know when you move from the Son of God to the Son of Man that day? How do you know the difference? How do you know that you're living in the day that everybody doesn't live in the day of the Son of Man? Everybody don't get in that day. Now look, as Son of David, he was with the Jews. But the Son of God, now look, Son of Man, a prophet, see, Son of David, king, they recognized him not a prophet. They wanted to make him king. They wanted to be delivered out of, from under the Roman Empire. But then in the church age, he is called the Son of God. Now anyone knows that God is a spirit, is that right? And the Holy Ghost is the Son of God. He's supernatural. Son of Man was a prophet, a man. David was a king, but God is a spirit. And in the church age, he reveals as Son of God. We believe that. You don't believe he's the Son of God, you're lost.
Amen.
He's the Son of God to the church age.
Right.
There you go. That's part of the answer. I'm coming, I'm giving y'all the answers. He's Son of God to the church ages. So that right there, that statement alone should tell you a lot.
Yeah.
To the church ages. So that means we, if you're in the day of the Son of Man, you're not in that church ages.
Right.
Oh, now you're saying, oh, okay. Now I understand. If you're not in the church ages, you can be in the day of the Son of Man.
Right.
As long as you're in the church ages, you're under Son of God. Remember, at the end of the seven church ages is when the seals were opened.
Right.
All the way up until the seals were opened, we were under the Son of God ministry. Because we didn't know. We didn't know the seals. We didn't know what God was doing. We had no clue about salvation. We didn't know nothing about eternal security, serpent seed, all these mysteries and things that we talk about so freely now. We didn't know anything like that under the Son of God ministry. In the church ages, we were blind.
Right. True.
Didn't know what was going on.
Right.
Now, he made a statement in here, and I don't know if you heard it. But he said, Son of Man was a prophet. Another key. You cannot get into the age of the Son of Man without a prophet. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, okay, I see where we're going now. You cannot get to the Son of Man age without a prophet. Impossible. Because he said Son of Man is a prophet. So if you don't believe in the prophet, then you could not be in the age of the Son of Man. It's required. You got to have it. Can't get around it. You say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in William Branham. You're in the Son of God age. You're still dealing with an unseen force. You're still praying to a God that you don't see. Praying to a God that you don't know. I'm praying to a God that I know.
That's right.
I'm praying to a God that I can see.
Amen.
I'm praying to a God that actually come down here and veiled himself in skin.
Amen.
Not then, now.
Amen.
Amen,
Lord.
So in order for you to be into the Son of Man age, you got to have a prophet.
Amen.
You can't have the word in an unseen force up here and think you've got the Son of Man age. You're still under the Son of God. Son of Man demands that you see a prophet.
Amen.
And I do mean see.
Amen.
You got to be able to see, because the Son of Man is the Word of God veiled in skin. I looked up Ezekiel, and I was looking at it last night. Every time God turned around and called him Son of Man. Son of Man. Son of Man. Son of Man. Thou Son of Man. And it's like, what was God trying to show us? God would come down and give Ezekiel his word.
Yeah.
His prophet, his word. And when he gave him the word, he became a Son of Man.
Right.
When the word, the full word of God is in skin,
yeah.
You got the Son of Man.
Amen.
Brother Branham said it was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. A Son of Man is someone with the word in of God in them,
right,
revealing the Son of Man, the Lord himself, John 1 and 1.
Right.
So what you got to understand is, in order for you to be in the day of the Son of Man, number one, you got to have a prophet.
Right.
I don't care who you are. If you don't have a prophet, you don't have Son of Man, because God first reveals it always to his prophets.
Amen.
Do you think that God would bring about a rapture, the most important movement of the church,
right,
and not bring a prophet first?
Amen.
He sent a prophet in his first coming.
Right.
Why would he not do it in his second coming?
Right.
It's a requirement for the age that we're living in.
Amen.
That we have a prophet.
Amen.
You say, I don't believe William Branham. That's up to you. You're not in the day of the Son of Man. So y'all follow a man. When God puts his word in a prophet, where are you going to hear from God? If the prophet's downtown and you say, well, I'm just going to stay home and pray about it, you're not going to get nothing from God. People don't see the importance of the prophet. But in order to get into the day of the Son of Man, number one, you have to have a prophet. And the prophet is going to have the word of God. Only way you're going to receive the word of God is to receive the prophet.
Amen.
You cannot receive the word of God if you don't receive his prophet.
Yes, bro.
Say, I'm going to do this on my own. Brother Brandon was a good man, but he ain't the only man. God sent a major prophet on the scene,
yeah,
and you're not going to hear what he has to say. Yet you're going to serve God. You'll be stuck in a son of God age. Because
right,
outside of the prophet, you can't get to this age.
Amen.
You can't get to this word. You can't get to this day.
Right.
And Jesus said you're going to long for one of these days. And there's only two of them.
Right.
It's only 2 days.
Right.
First day was when Jesus was here. Second day is at the end time, just before the rapture.
Amen.
And the church longed for one of these days. This day they longed for. If we're in the day of the Son of Man. I ain't got finished with the answer yet. I'm still giving you some evidence. I'm building a case here. I'm building a case. Got to have a prophet. And that prophet has to have thus said the Lord. And if that prophet has thus said the Lord, you can't get any other revelation outside of what that prophet has. If you do, you're not in the day of the Son of Man. I don't care how much you serve God. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you go to church and build church and do everything else. If you fail to get under the prophet of the hour, you fail to get in the day of the Son of Man.
Amen.
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 Right.
You wonder why it's important that we prophesy after what Brother Branham said? Because the prophet brought the prophecy. You don't prophesy on your own.
No.
You can only prophesy what God says.
Right. Amen.
If Noah said it's going to rain, what other prophecy are you going to get?
Right.
Well, I know Noah's a good man, but he ain't the only one that talks to God. God told me to plant my potatoes. The proof of a Son of Man is that it matches the will of God.
Amen.
I don't care how holy you are, how spiritual you are, if what you're doing doesn't match the word, it's not God.
Amen.
You say, well, I get anointed. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Doesn't matter how much you say you're spiritual. You can tell me you're spiritual all you want. You can tell me you talk to God all day long. You can tell me God talks to you all day long. That's fine. That's dandy. But if it doesn't match what the prophet brought, then I got to lay yours down because I got to move into the day of the Son of Man. And I can't get a hold of God outside of the Son of Man. I can't get around the prophet. I can't get around God's leadership and say, I'm going to go another way and get there. Saying, I don't need William Branham. I can do this on my own. And I'm not pointing you to William Branham. I'm pointing you to the voice of the sign. He was the sign. His voice is what we're after. It didn't matter about it, whether it was Noah or who said it. Once Noah got the word from God, when Noah said it's going to rain, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Amen.
You say, I don't like Noah. Don't have to. Doesn't change God's word. Doesn't change the prophecy. But I can get there on my own. I can build my own boat. Whatever that thing is, I'll make one. And no doubt people had their own rafts. No doubt they had their own way of building things. But see, the thing is, if you don't build it according to thus saith the Lord, it won't float.
Amen.
Because do you know that ark wasn't floating because Noah built it? It floated because of the word of God.
Amen.
It wasn't about Noah's abilities. God just spoke to him, and God said, build it this way. And Noah was just dumb enough to build it exactly the way God said it.
Right.
And Noah didn't know whether it was going to float or not.
Right.
He'd never done anything like that.
No.
And no doubt there were some Janice and Jammers out there building their own boats. Well, I got a better design. I got a better way. I'm going through the Baptist. I'm going through the Methodist. I'm going through the Pentecost. I'm independent. I don't need nobody. I don't need a prophet. I don't need a preacher. I don't need nobody. I got the Spirit of God telling me what to do.
Right.
Not in the day of the Son of Man.
No.
You might have your Spirit of God telling you what to do.
Right.
But when the Spirit of God that's talking to you doesn't match the Spirit of God that's in his prophet, then you've missed the day of the Son of Man.
Right. Right.
So I said it's important to stay with what the prophet brought.
Amen.
It's important to repeat what the prophet repeated and say what the prophet said. And I'm not talking about just Paul parroting. I'm talking about you got to hear and understand what the prophet brought. And that understanding is a revelation that comes from God.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
To bring you into the day of the Son of Man, you got to get a revelation of what the prophet brought.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just say, I follow William Branham either.
No. Right.
Not enough to just have the books. Not enough to just have the quotes. Not enough just to quote after Brother Branham. You got to meet the same revelation that Brother Branham got.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Man, that's true.
Because right. There's a lot of people that's following this message that ain't going nowhere. Won't read it, but over in Ezekiel, I told you, He always called the prophet Son of Man. Then that was because the word of God comes to the prophet. And it's funny because God is so true to his word. Look what happened with Jesus and John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet. The word came to him. He didn't go to Jesus. The word came to him because he was a prophet. That was his job. And John was trying to fight with the word because John was like, hey, man, you're much better than me. I need to be baptized by you. I ain't doing this. And Jesus is like, hey, suffer to be so, John. The word, look, John, the word comes to the prophet, not the prophet comes to the word. The word comes to the prophet. I'm here. The sacrifice has to be washed. See, God always makes sure that everything lines up. Isn't that wonderful how it works? His scriptures never butt heads. It never messes up. It never crosses itself. And the word came to the prophet, and the prophet took and washed the word because he was also the Lamb of God. And the Lamb had to be washed for the sacrifice, which was Calvary for you and me. So the word always comes to the prophet. You cannot get into the day of the Son of Man without the word coming to the prophet.
Amen.
That's what brings you to the day of the Son of Man. If you want to live in the day of the Son of Man, number one, you got to have a prophet.
Right.
Number two, he's got to have the word.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about any old prophets, because there's minor prophets out there that they might even prophesy and things come to pass. You think, ooh, God's with them. Ooh, I better be afraid of them. Ooh, the Bible says be afraid if it tells them that comes to pass. Listen to Brother Brown says, after this gift, watch and see what they do with the word. Because a true prophet is going to have the word following their gifts. If they don't have the word following the gifts, don't worry about them. I don't care if they who has discernment. Sometimes prophets, they come in here and they say, oh, I'm a prophet. I can discern y'all. And you know what the devil says to me on the front row? He says, man, I hope he doesn't call me. I know that don't happen to y'all, so I just tell y'all it's happening. Man, I hope he doesn't call me out. I don't want everybody to know this and that and another. And I don't want him to. But you know what? Then he gets up here and he starts talking from some false doctrine, Trinitarian doctrine, something that's false. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. He just has a gift of prophecy. And Lord, if you call me out, call me out. I want to be right. But I ain't worried about him because he ain't preaching the truth. It's not balanced. If you find a man that's not balanced in his preaching, he's got to bring a word on word because he's getting, if he's a true prophet of God, he's getting it from God. And God's not going to give you anything but word on word.
Amen.
If he's trying to get you to do this and says, well, this is the word of God. And you better clean your life up. And this is the word of God. But you better get this done. And this is the word of God. And you look and say, well, it's not matching. He's not a prophet. He's not a true prophet of God. Don't worry about that guy. He'll be through preaching in a little bit and going about his business and getting money somewhere else. But when you got a true prophet of God, his goal is not to show you his signs and wonders. See, I always watch people who have gifts. Because I see people with gifts, and they had true gifts, some of them. Some aren't even true. But I watch the gifts, and they'll use those gifts, but then they try to bring glory to themselves. And I said sometimes, I think, you know, if that happened to me, because I had a brother one time, and he said how the angel of the Lord come into his room, and they said this and did that. And I'm thinking to myself, if the angel of the Lord came to my room and did that he said he's done, I don't think I'd tell anybody because people wouldn't understand it. It took pulling teeth to get me even tell you about that rainbow because Don made me tell y'all. It's like, I don't, you know, because people have a tendency that they worship gifts instead of the giver. And if you tell them you have discernment or you tell them you have a sign or wonder, oh, you could pack the church, but they're after that, not the word. And so when you have a gift, and you lift yourself with that gift, then that is not of God.
Amen.
That's not the word made flesh. That's not the Son of Man. He's not going to. Jesus, what did he say that the Holy Ghost is going to do? He's going to take a mind and show it unto you. He said he will not even speak of himself.
That's right.
That's what the Holy Ghost does. So when they're always telling you about what they've done, what they're doing, what God's blessed them, I'm always afraid of somebody to always tell me, well, God told me this. God told me that. God's talking to me here. God's talking to me, you know, I can't even understand what you're saying because all I'm hearing is God and I talk more than you. That's all I'm getting. It's like, you know, it's so much God that I almost have to wonder. It makes me question it. Because when I hear you telling me, God's telling me to do this, and then you're going 90 miles an hour away from the word, I'm like, well, that ain't God. Anything, and I like keeping it simple, anything that takes you away from the word of God is Satan. I don't care if it's your husband taking you on a fishing trip on Sunday morning.
You're right.
When you need them in the house of God.
You're right.
Sorry, Doug. I know you like to fish. I don't care if it's a party at work on Wednesday night. Right. And I understand sometimes you got to go because you got these positions. You got to do it. Sometimes you're planning a party. Or your wife is planning a party. And she steps right smack dab on Wednesday night. We're going to have a party Wednesday night starting at 7:30.
Right.
Satan. I recognize you.
Yeah.
Anything. Kids, kickball practice, baseball practice always falls on Wednesday night. The best TV shows always come on Wednesday night or Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Satan, I recognize you.
Yeah.
Sunday night football. And they're trying their best to get it 7 days a week. Now it's Sunday, Monday, Thursday. Then you got college on Saturday. They got a football for every day of the week. Then you got your reruns and your sports channels. Oh, I know what's out there. Y'all, I. Satan. Anything. That pulls you away. A lot of times, see, when you're under the Son of God, you don't know whether it's God or Satan. But when you get under the Son of Man age, anything that pulls you away from God's word is Satan. It's really an easy formula. It doesn't mean it's always even wrong. It could be good stuff. There's, you know, I was telling John yesterday, the lady wants me to have a meeting with her, and she's got certain times and dates, and I may have to miss something to do it. John's like, you might have to skip that. I'm like, I know, but I don't want to. Sometimes you have to.
Right.
If your cow's in a ditch, get it out.
Right.
Don't be so holy
that
your cow's going to die while you're in the house praying to an unknown God.
Yeah.
Get it out of there. Get a flat on Sunday morning, fix it. You can't. Well, I'm going to walk to church. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let nothing get in between me and the Lord. See, there's a ditch on each side. So I'm not saying that you can't. But I'm saying if you see a pattern, it's Satan. Your wife always taking you to dinner on church day. We're going to Waffle House Sunday morning. What time? 10. Already arranged it with the family. They're all going to be there.
See?
We got to go. No, we all don't. Satan. That's what Job told his wife. You talk like a foolish woman. Anything. Satan's trick. You know what our overcoming issue is in this hour? Easy living. Easy push button living. And everything's at our fingertips, and everything happens on Sunday and Wednesday, but it's Satan.
Right.
Kids don't get sick till Saturday night. And then at 12 o'clock Sunday afternoon night, whoo! Hallelujah! You got to recognize Satan and all of his tricks.
Oh, yeah.
But in the day of the Son of Man, you can do that.
Amen.
It's not an unseen force. We know what we're fighting against now.
Amen.
We know how to overcome now.
Amen.
When your husband talk like a foolish man, tell him so.
Amen.
When your wife talk like a foolish woman, tell her so.
Amen.
Oh, one time Clarice told me, oh, I don't feel like going to church no more. I ain't going today. It was Sunday morning, about 8 o'clock. I rode over, looked at her, said, you're going to church. Get dressed and stay with me. That's when we were having a church split, and things are just bad here. The devil was all over the place, and she's like, I can't do it. I can't go no more. I can't. I said, get up and come with me. Because the devil wants to try to separate you from where the word is. You can't get answers standing home. You say, well, I'll tune in. A lot of people tune in. They don't even get the anointing that comes on here.
Amen.
They don't get the anointing, and it doesn't have the effect because they're not caught up in this dimension that we're caught up in right now.
Amen.
All they're doing is looking for education, looking to be a nosy, trying to find out who's at church or what they're going to say about me.
Amen.
Get in the house.
Amen.
Get where the anointing is. Get where the Son of Man is. Get where you can't push stop on the play. Best you can do is tip to the restroom, but you can still hear me in the restroom.
Amen.
I know you're right. Amen.
There were two major prophets. Revelation chapter 22. I am Alpha and Omega. There's your two prophets.
Amen.
The beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Paul and Brother Branham. 2 days of the Son of Man. Jesus coming the first time and Brother Branham coming at the second coming. You say, Jesus, I mean, Brother Branham was the Son of Man? No. He was a Son of Man. Do you realize you become, if you get into the day of the Son of Man, you become a Son of Man.
Amen.
You'll be part of that day. It's a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. This morning, I am a Son of Man, and I'm revealing the Son of Man by the spoken word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So when you only had 2 days,
amen.
Brother Brown said the Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between.
Right.
He didn't say nothing about Son of God. That's unseen force. Down through the ages, never knew what was going on. God hid it all. Never said nothing in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and last. Yes, sir. First ministry and the last ministry is the same.
Yes, sir.
Because it's the same God.
Amen.
The same prophet.
Amen.
It's the same one who revealed it, the same one who hid it, the same one who come back and revealed it.
Amen.
The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the second or the last message is the same. I am Alpha and Omega. There will be a day that won't be called day nor night, but at evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega, it's become the first and the last.
Amen.
So there's going to have to be something different about the day of the Son of Man than every other day.
Right.
You just can't quote Luke 17:30 and say, eh, we're living in the day of the Son of Man. What does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean? How should you act the same as any other day? Should you approach God the same as any other day? Should you believe things as the same as any other? No. No. When you got the day of the Son of Man on your hand, you got all answers.
Right.
No questions. Full light is on the scene. Said at any time. It won't be a day that's day nor dark. Churchy people. People serving God. Look churchy, look like God. They look like they were right, look like they're okay. But that's not who he's looking at. He said, by that evening time, it shall be light.
Right.
How do you get light? Through the prophet, through the day of the Son of Man coming on the scene again.
Right.
So if this day is full of light, and it is, and if we have had a prophet, and we have,
amen,
then we should be moving out of the age of the Son of God and living in the day of the Son of Man.
Right. Amen.
We should have answers to everything now. We should know what it is if we're living in the day of the Son of Man. We shouldn't be guessing about who's right and who's wrong. Oh, you should understand every man you meet. Jesus understood every man he met.
Yeah.
You should be walking around here like Jesus did. Everywhere you place your feet and every person you meet, you should look at them and say, oh, that one's, I know that one. I don't know that one. I want this one. I don't want that one. That's the hour. You know who you are. Jesus met people and he told, go home and don't come follow me. He didn't just accept everybody. He knew who labored amongst him. He knew what was going on. Some he said, come follow me. Some he said, don't tell anybody. I healed you and go home. He understood the day that he was living in. He wasn't guessing about nothing. What about the hour that we're living in?
Amen.
We shouldn't be guessing. This, we should just run to the house of God.
Amen.
Knowing that we're in the hour of the Son of Man. Give us all the answers. Tell us everything. Don't hide anything. Whenever could you get a preacher and a church together where you can sit and ask any questions and you get answers, 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 answers. Only in the day of the Son of Man. Remember back in the denominations, we sat there with many questions. The preacher would get up and preach and they bump heads with the scripture. And you try to wonder which one's right, who's wrong, how's it really work? And you left with more questions than you came with. But when you move into the day of the Son of Man, you don't have questions like that. When you move into the day of the Son of Man, you come to church, you get answers.
Yes.
God discerns your heart and he answers questions you didn't even ask.
That's right.
In the day of the Son of Man, the discernment is pure and perfect and is right in your midst.
Yes.
You say, well, was he at our, Sister Belinda used to ask, did he have our house bugged? Did Brother Childers bug our house? No, Son of Man's on the scene.
Right.
Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, he's a discerner.
Right.
It discerns you.
Amen.
It knows what you need. But it's not just in a single person. It's in the body.
That's right. You're right.
That's why some get up and testify and some get up and say, well, I was going to say that. Joel 2 promised a restoration. It said, be glad and rejoice, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down upon you, down for you, the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. He's going to give us both. He's going to give us double portion.
Amen.
He's not just going to give us what Elijah had, but he's going to give us a double portion of this thing. We're going to know the whole story. We're not going to just know the lost things. We're going to know the hidden things. We know the whole thing. We know the whole story. We're not sitting here guessing and trying to figure out, oh, Lord, what we're doing. We're not guessing on anything now. Time for guessing is over. If you move, when you move into the day of the Son of Man, you're not guessing about who he is. You're not guessing about who you are. You know. And it's not even that anybody could tell you differently. They may try to talk you out of it. They may try to tell you it's not truth. They may try to tell you it's false, it's phony, it's this and that. But you look and you say, all I know, you may be right, but all I know is I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I've heard all kinds of stuff about Brother Childers since I've been here 40 years. But it didn't matter to me because I knew one thing he did for me that nobody's ever done for me when I was blind and didn't know who I was. And he brought me the revelation. Now I perfectly see who I am.
Yes.
Talk about him all you want. Talk about me all you want.
Right.
Talk about the church all you want. All I know is I can't get this anywhere else.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I've stepped into the day of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Now I got answers. He said, well, you can find a better church. I haven't found one. People go to better churches than this. But then they come here for answers. I have brothers come from around the world. They come stay with me. Y'all know, we sit and talk. They ask me questions. They tell me, you know, I have something I want to talk to you about. And they'll, you wonder why I don't put them in hotels. I put them in my house because I want them right there with me. And we sit and we talk. And they ask me questions that they can't ask other preachers. They can't get answers from. But they'll ask me, little old me. And they walk away satisfied.
Yes.
Answers.
That's right.
Preachers come here and preach. They hear, they see, as they walk away satisfied with answers.
Right.
They love the atmosphere. They love the worship. They love the word. It ties everything together, dovetails so perfectly.
Right.
They don't get that everywhere.
No.
And you all take it for granted.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's what said, open your eyes and look and see
yeah.
what God's doing.
Right.
We've moved into the day of the Son of Man.
Amen.
The prophet's message has come. And that is the voice of God coming through the bride now.
Amen. Amen.
The light's here. We're no longer in darkness. It was dark down through the age. Paul said we looked through a glass dimly. We can't say that today.
No.
We're not looking through a glass dimly. I see him face to face.
Amen.
We read that and we think he's talking about when we get in front of him. Hallelujah, the great white throne judgment. We'll see him face to face. No. We see him face to face
now.
I can talk to him now. I can shake his hand now. I can call him up now. I can fellowship with him now. He's here. He's in his body. He is in his bride.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery is finished. You got to remember that seventh angel, when he came and received what was in Revelation chapter 5. The seals were ripped off because no man was worthy to open the book. But God ripped the seals off. And what did he do with those seals? He sent them down here as W-O-R-D.
Amen.
To whom? The prophet. Sent them to the prophet. You couldn't even have got this without God first giving it to the prophet. And by God bringing it down here as word, he ripped the seals off so that we could actually open the book and see everything.
Amen.
You understand? When there's no seals on it, you can see what's in it. Brother Branham talked about a cart, a train car. So they load that thing up.
Yeah.
But then they lock it and they seal it.
Yes, amen.
And it's sealed until it reaches its destination.
Right.
And when you take the seal off the cart, you can open a door and you can see everything that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the seal has been broken. And people are still thinking that it's going to be over there somewhere. No, it's opened in the day of the Son of Man. Now we can look in a cart and see there's chairs, there's books, there's
right.
this, there's that. We can just point and we can tell everything that's in because the seal's removed. It's reached its destination. Do you know this bride has reached its destination? You say, we're not in heaven yet. That's a different destination. The first destination is for us to get the seals opened up on this side so that we can move into the day of the Son of Man.
Amen.
And when you move into the day of the Son of Man, we have answers to everything because we know everything that's in the card.
Right.
We're not sitting here trying to guess about it. Oh, let's pray about it. You know, your day of praying about it should be over. You know, they say you only tarry until the Son of Man comes. You just, till he gets here. But when the Son of Man gets here, you don't wait for nothing else. So, well, I'm going to have to go and let's just do a prayer service and figure it out. I already know the answer. I don't need to wait anymore. A lot of decisions we make. And I'm making some here. And I told Brother Childers the other day. He said, you talked to Brother Childers the other day? I talk to Brother Childers every day. I told him the other day, I said, Brother Childers, I'm getting ready to make a decision. Usually I'd come to you for this, but I'm going to have to do this by myself, without you. But it's the same Son of Man in me that was in him.
Right. Amen. Amen.
So I'm not afraid of the answer.
Right.
I know who I am. The answer's here. I don't have to guess about it. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to say, oh, let me go and pray about it and see. I already know. I already know.
Right.
Sometimes I give a little time for you so y'all can get adjusted. That's like when I got COVID. And Clarice got COVID. And I was sick as a dog. And I got tested and the kid came out positive. And Clarice thought, well, I get tested too. Because, you know, she just, that's what she does. I get tested, she get tested. So she got tested, and she had COVID. And she come back, and I got the call from the doctor. He told me I had COVID. And then about a few minutes later, she gets a call from her doctor, and they said she had COVID, or whoever called us. I think it was whoever it was. But so she stopped. She said, don't we need to take a moment? I said, take a moment? Why do I need a moment? She said, we've got COVID. I said, I already knew that. I don't need no moment. I just go to the next step. Now what am I going to do about it? I mean, so, and when you know something, you don't have to wait. You don't have to hold off. You don't have to tarry. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to, oh, let's hold a revival till the Spirit of God comes down. No, the Spirit of God's here. He's in me.
Amen.
I'm a son of man revealing the son of man.
Amen.
And when God moves me and it's according to his word, what do I need to wait on anything else?
Amen.
Don't have to pray about coming to church.
Amen.
Now let's pray about it. See if we're going to go to church tomorrow. It's Saturday night and I'm tired. Let's just pray about this. You already know. You know, I always say, what would Jesus do? You know what Jesus would do now. Just do it. You don't have to wait and, let's see what the Lord says. What the Lord, that's like I had a lady, she went to rent. I spiritual people always crack me up. I guess I shouldn't say that. They do, though. She came in, and she was wanting one of our units. So she wanted to come and see it, and I took her in there. And, oh, hallelujah, I've been praying about this. And, oh, hallelujah, God's blessed me. And she went in, and she started picking on everything. She's like, I don't like this. Can't they update that? Can they change this? And the whole time I'm like, another Pharisee. And I thought, I just let her walk through the unit. I was hoping she finds every bad thing there was. So she picked that, picked this. Can they cut this? Can they paint that? That's like, oh, yeah, we can paint that. Oh, yeah, we can do that. She went through the unit. Then she looked at me and said, well, can I have a day or two to go home and pray about it? I'm like, sure. I'll go pray. I'll pray and she turns it down. And she did. I was happy she did. But I thought, it's so funny because people are so, they think they're so spiritual. Now here she is standing in a room with God.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
See? It's like saying, let me go to my house and I'm going to call you. Well, you're standing right there with me. And it shows you the ignorance of the people. They don't know the day and hour we're living in. They got to go pray about it. And they should, because they don't know. All she had to do, if she wanted to, she could have got an answer from God like that. She could have looked and said, what do you think? And God would have told her, this apartment's not for you. I knew that right then. But because of her tradition, she had to go home, probably get on her knees, fold her hands just right, put her head to heaven, close her eyes and pray, and then ask God, Lord, should I get this unit? And then she wait for an answer from God. And wait. And then when she gets one, it's a 50-50 chance that it's right. She could have had 100% chance when she turned around to God. Standing around. See, that's the difference between a son of God age and a son of man age. But we're as guilty as she is because we still act like we're in a son of God age. Sometimes you need to go by the Spirit that's leading you from the inside. It's not even always calling me. Because the same son of man in me is the same son of man in you.
That's right.
And if what you're wanting matches the Word of God, why try? Speak and move forward.
Amen.
That's the hour we're living in. It's the Son of Man hour. He said, well, what if I make a mistake? Then make another decision.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Change your mind.
Yeah.
Let the Son of Man walk in you like he wants to.
Yes.
We're so busy trying to put the Son of Man in Brother Branham, trying to put the Son of Man in the pastor, trying to put the Son of Man in the ministry. How about put the Son of Man in you?
Amen.
So that God can talk to you, walk with you. The whole thing is for you to walk with God, not me. Oh, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. But how about you?
Right.
When you live in the day of the Son of Man, every footstep you take, you should know where they come from.
Amen.
They come from God. Every decision you make, you should be saying, Lord, what should I do? How should I do it? And if it matches the Word of God, don't call me. Step out on it.
Right.
My biggest thing is to get you to trust the God that's in you.
Amen.
I'm not trying to get you to call me all the time. Oh, Pastor, I'm sick. Can you pray for me? I can. Brother Branham said that that old laying hands on the sick is an old tradition. You don't even really need to lay hands on the sick. Just do like that centurion did. Just speak the word, Lord. All you got to do is speak the word and I'll be able to have my servant healed.
Amen.
When you're in the day of the Son of Man, you got God walking right in front of you. God's talking right to you. He's right there. And all you got to do is look him out of the eye and say, I need this, Lord.
Amen.
That's the day of the Son of Man. But we want to still live in the day of Son of God. We want to walk in the day of Son of God because it's safe. You put it on somebody else. If God doesn't answer, it's because the pastor's bad and he didn't get in touch with God. And you put it on a preacher. You put it on the church. You put it on somebody else, everybody besides you. But when are you going to finally become a Son of Man to where you start walking and talking and speaking and living according to the Word of God?
Come on.
Amen.
Well, I got to make sure I get the right mate. What are your criteria? What are you looking for? Well, he's got to have this many muscles. His hair's got to be this color. And he got to have this. And he got to have that. But what does the word say? You're living in the day of the Son of Man. You're a Son of Man. What are you doing? Well, you should know how to pick a mate. Shouldn't take you 20 years. You're living in the day of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
It's God in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory.
Right.
Oh, I got to pray about this. I think some of us still live in the day of the Son of God. As I said, we need to understand what it is to live in a day of the Son of Man. It is not even the same old 6 and 7. Oh, God might put you with somebody that you don't think you belong with. God might take an older person, put them with a young one. I had people mad at me because I had brothers that got younger girls, and they thought, well, that's almost illegal. No, no, it wasn't illegal. They waited till they graduated. Amen, Johanna? And they get mad. And they think, well, what I need right. They should be looking for a career. They need to go to school. They need to. What does the Word of God say? I don't need a degree if I'm gonna be a keeper of the home. That's not rocket science. But we don't live according to the Son of Man ministry. We act like it's here because we know Luke 17:30 said it, so we just say it. But we don't live our life that way. You ain't living in a day of the Son of Man. You need to live in it. You need to step in it. Stop worrying about everything. Why are you worried about so much? Everything you worry about, everything.
Right.
Oh, I got to worry about this. Oh, I got to make sure. I'll make sure I get the right mate. What if I get the wrong mate? Then you get the wrong mate.
Right.
You can get one as you think is right, and after 20 years, they leave you.
Right.
So how long are you going to debate?
Yeah.
How long are you going to wait? What are you looking for? What's that? I'm waiting for the bell to ring.
Yeah. Right.
walking in a day of the Son of Man, the God that's in you calls black, black, white, white. It moves by the Spirit. When God says do something, you just do it. I've done that all my life with this message. God's got me doing things that people think, you're crazy. I do it anyway. When I left ROTC, my major looked at me. He said, Nate, are you sure you want to do this? I couldn't really explain to him. God told me to leave. He went, I said, I'm just going to go out and get me a job. After 2 years of college, ROTC paid for 2 years of college, about ready to be commissioned as a sophomore. That's a cake run. They had already assigned me to a unit in Springfield. I was going to have a captain's job, a supply captain, a job that everybody likes because you got all the supplies. It'd have been easy for me to go that way. But God said, go this way. I went that way. I've always gone that way. My accountant, she's been my accountant for many, many years. She still have not forgiven me from leaving Miami Valley Hospital. I hear it all the time. You had a good job, Nate, when you're at Miami Valley. Why'd you leave? God told me. And it's not about dollars and cents. It's about being led by the Son of Man, led by God. Take pay cuts every time I got a job. Don't seem like you should even. Says, why wouldn't you get your better job? Because God said, go here. I don't know. That's what you're led by the Spirit of God. We don't even want to be led by the Spirit of God. We're scared to be led by the Spirit of God. We trust our own emotions, trust our own feelings, trust the out. You better quit trusting your flesh and spirit and start trusting your soul.
Amen.
That's where the Son of Man is. And if it says move, move.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't care what it is. It ain't just marriage. It's your job. It's your home. It's your personal life. It's everything you do. We're living in the day of the Son of Man, not just a movement.
No.
We moved out of Pentecost. We moved out of denomination. We moved out of the church age. And we moved in a time period where God should now be living in you and moving through you with every heartbeat.
Amen.
All your decisions should be right.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Have faith in your decisions.
Yes.
We call the pastor because we don't have faith in our decisions.
That's right.
We don't trust the God that's in us. You trust the God that's in the pastor more than you trust the God that's in you. Amen. I would trust the God that's in me more than I trust the God that's in my pastor.
Right.
It should be that real. When I really got the Holy Ghost, I said I wouldn't trade places with nobody. I wouldn't change shoes with nobody in this place. And that was including Brother Childers. Because I knew what happened to me. I knew I'd walked in that little room. I knew God revealed himself to me. And I was walking in a new day. And wouldn't trade it for nothing. And when people try to tell you, oh, Brother Moore, they say, oh, Brother Nate, we're following a man. I'm like, you're following a man. I ain't following a man. You got to speak for yourself. That's for me and my house. I'm not following a man. I'm following the Word of God. So, see, people will try to persuade you that you don't have what you have. But I've got it. People try to tell you that you don't have enough. But I've got enough. People try to tell you that it's false and it's going down the wrong road. But it's exactly where God has this church going.
Amen.
Don't let nobody pull you out of your Son of Man day.
Amen.
Walk, live, and have your beings.
Okay.
They long for this day.
Yes.
The church long to have the Spirit of God so in them that they can bind and loose, that they can call things which are not as though they are, that they can see things clearly. I'm describing us people.
Amen.
Y'all should be shouting and running aisles.
Yeah.
They long to see these things. They long to day. That's why Jesus said, you're going to long for one of these days. A day to do what? To have God in skin walking right with you to answer all of your questions and supply all your needs. But they went into the Son of God age where they didn't know nothing. They didn't know where God was. They didn't know how much God was in them. They thought they were just a piece of maybe God's anointing was on them. They didn't realize they were God. They didn't realize who they were. God hid all that. But now, at the end of the opening of the seals and the revealing and everything brought down here is word, this bride should know who she is. She should know where she stands, and we should be boldly walking through this world.
Amen.
Tell the devil, when you get tired of it, sit down and shut up until I call you back, till I'm ready to play with you again. You should be playing with the devil instead of the devil playing with you.
Amen.
Oh, I play with him when I want to.
Sure.
And when I had enough, I said, go in and sit in the corner.
Right.
He said, you play with the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Anytime I want to. He said, well, I thought you were a Christian. I am. And when I get tired of messing with him, I say, sit down.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And stay there.
Yeah.
They long for the day that we're living in.
Yeah.
They long for a day of the Son of Man to be able to bind and loose.
Yeah.
To take your loved ones.
Yeah.
Take your family. Take your friends. Full authority. Take some man at Costco that you don't even know.
Amen.
They long for the day of the Son of Man.
Amen.
And we're sitting in the middle of it and don't even know the definition of what the day is. What the requirements are. It's required that you have a prophet. It's required that it's a true prophet, a major prophet, that has all of the word, the fullness of the word, veiled right there before you in skin.
Amen.
Right?
Amen, Lord.
And when you've got that, you're walking in one of the days of the Son of Man. Lamb took the book and he opened that book and he loosed those seals and he sent them down here as word. Where did he send it? To a prophet. That's why we need William Branham. So I can do this without William Branham. No, you can't. I don't need William Branham. He was a good prophet, a man of God, and God used him, but I got my own thinking. That's your problem. You can't get into this day without your prophet. Gotta have him. Can't make it. When you go into problems, you gotta have God in skin. You know, we talk about that little boy. When a thunderstorm came up and his mom said, oh, baby, we've got Jesus. And he said, yes, mama, but in times like this, I want God with skin on it. Climb on this bed. Stay with me for a while.
Yeah.
In the hours that we're living now, you need God with skin on. Because we go through the same problems everybody else goes through. We go through the storms. We go through the fires. We go through the floods. We go through the rain. We go through the disappointments. We go through the heartaches. We go through the deaths. We go through the loss of loved ones. We go through all these same things that everybody else goes through. But the difference between them and us is they're stuck in that seventh day, and I'm living in a day of the Son of Man where I have answers to every problem that even comes my way.
Right.
You can't hit me on a bad side. Because I don't have a bad side.
Right.
Family comes. Problems. I got answers for that.
Amen.
Work problems. Got answers for that.
Amen.
Home problems. Got answers for that. Personal problems. Got answers for that. Sickness. Got answers for that. My future. Got answers for that.
Amen.
How can you lose?
Amen.
You're living in the day of Son of Man. The word, the full word of God is veiled in your skin. And you're walking around here, and you almost think you're nobody, but you don't understand. People long to be in this day to be able to do what you can do.
Right. Amen, Lord.
And we almost feel like, oh, we don't have control. I lose control. I can't handle myself. I got this problem. I got that problem. Don't let your problem be your mountain. Kick it out of the way. Move it. I told you last Sunday, move that mountain. Son of Man's in you.
Right.
You're a Son of Man. And you're revealing the Son of Man. How do you reveal him? By living.
That's right.
When you live, he lives. When you move, he moves. That's how you live in a day of the Son of Man. You get the word of the prophet in you. And then you become that word. That lamb brought that book down here, opened those seals. And when he opened those seals, it revealed everything to us. He said, Amos 3:3-7, surely Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants the prophet. God's not going to do nothing until he shows us the prophet. You're not going to get out of here without a prophet. You're not. The biggest thing that's going to happen to the bride right now is a body change. And they don't even have a prophet to tell them how the change is going to happen. We know how it's going to happen. We know who's going to happen to. Day of Son of Man, we're not sitting there wondering, how do we know who's going to be in the rapture? Oh, we know. We know the order that they're getting up. We know who to look for. We're not looking for Paul, though he will get up. I don't want to wait till the last one. I don't want to wait till 40th day when Paul shows up. Well, I don't wait till Paul gets up. I want to see Brother Childers.
Right.
I want to see the last one. I want to see Sister Kim.
Right.
I want to see somebody that just left here. Somebody's new. Somebody, come on, you get up first. Then let's worry about Paul.
Right.
We know the order. How in the world can we know the order? How in the world can we know who's getting up? What? Are y'all crazy? No. I'm just living in a day of the Son of Man when all the answers are here and available. I'm not in darkness. I've had my prophet. Prophet had the word. And I've taken the word that that prophet had and I've eaten that book. Brother Branham said, the proof that he's a prophet is found in Revelation 10:7, but in the days of voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. Now this person who is in this verse is called an angel in King James Version is not a heavenly being. The sixth trumpet angel who is heavenly being is in Revelation 9:13, and the seventh of like order is in Revelation 11:15. This one here in Revelation 10:7 is the seventh angel messenger, and this is a man. See, when you get into the Son of Man, you've got to have a man.
Amen.
That's why they call it Son of Man. The seventh angel, and he is a man, and he's going to have a message from God, and his message and ministry is going to finish the mystery of God as declared to his servants the prophets. God is going to treat this last messenger as a prophet because he is a prophet. He's going to treat him like a prophet because he is a prophet.
Right.
We had to have a prophet. You cannot get around Brother Branham. The best thing I can do is tell you what Brother Branham said.
Amen.
That's why I like reading his quotes, because I want you to hear what the prophet said, not just my ideas.
Amen.
I want you to know where I got it from. I'm not ashamed to tell you Brother Branham said it.
Right.
Because he is a prophet. That's what Paul was in the first age, and the last age has one too. Amos 3:7. Surely God does nothing. Now, everybody will not see the Son of Man age. Everybody's not going to see it. Revelation 3, Laodicea, church age. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. And thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that there were cold or hot, either in or out of church. Yeah, I just hate people just hanging around church. I don't want y'all just hanging around this message, just being here to hang around us. I want you to actually believe this message and be in it. Have it in you. Have the Son of Man ministry, Son of Man day in you. Not just be lukewarm church going, because just hanging around this and not believing it doesn't help you at all.
Amen.
Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. See, they don't need a prophet. They don't need the Son of Man. They're not even looking for the day of the Son of Man. They don't even know what the day of the Son of Man is and how it even works or where it even comes into play or when it's supposed to happen. They're not looking for the day of the Son of Man to come at the end time. They don't have need of nothing. We got our church. We're Baptist. We're Methodist. We're Pentecostal. We're Message. We look good. We sound good. We dress right. We do all these things right. We're Message. Increase with goods and have need of nothing. And knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He's talking about church people. I'm not talking about the world. People read this and they think, oh, he's talking about those poor drunks out in the street. They don't know. No, he's talking about you. He's talking about the church. He's talking about people who claim God. People are doing better works than you.
Yeah.
They fast more than you. Yeah. They pray more than you. They read more than you. They're smarter than you. They're educated. And they have all this, but yet they don't know how to get in the day of the Son of Man. And here you are sitting in a day of Son of Man and don't even hardly even know you're here. It's sort of like, oh, we're here? Yes, you're here.
Yes.
Don't have need of nothing. Behold, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. And if a man hears my voice and opens the door, my voice. The Lord himself descended from heaven, the shout, the voice. You got to hear the voice. By the time he gets to the trump, this ain't even going to work. They got to hear the voice of the Son of Man to be able to come out. This is the only time that they can come out is while we're here doing the job of the voice. Do you realize that's your job? The voice is in the bride. They have to hear this voice. If they can hear this voice and come out, then he'll sup with them. He said, I will come into him. And I like the way they said that, because it's not like we're going into the house. He said, I'll come into him. If you hear the voice, he'll come into you. I guarantee you today, people, if you will hear his voice, I guarantee he will come into you.
Amen.
This voice that you're hearing this morning, you say, oh, that's just your voice. No, no, no. It's the voice of God. You say, well, you're just trying to make yourself equal with God. I am!
Amen.
And so are you! I'm not just pointing you to me. I told you, any preacher pointing him to himself is not of God.
Right.
I'm trying to get the God that's in me and you.
Right.
The God that was in Brother Branham got in Brother Childers.
Right.
The God was in Brother Childers.
Amen.
When I heard that voice, it was different than any other messenger, any other preacher I'd ever heard. I said, I don't have what he has, but I want to get what he's got.
Amen.
I wanted that voice in me. And here I am today. That same voice of Earl Childers is calling out of me.
Amen.
That's why I don't want to change. That's why I don't want to back off. That's why I don't want to find some new message. I'm not trying to take our church out to give us a new message. I know what we have is right. I'm trying to open a door so water can come in and we can go out and share what we have.
That's right.
You're not going to bring me any more than what I got.
Amen.
No.
I don't care who you are. You're not going to bring me any more than I got. You might bring it another way, and I love it. You might talk about it in an angle that I've never seen, and I love it. But it ain't going to add one bit to the revelation that I have outside of more information. My revelation is sure. It's secure. It's solid. It's God. It's the Son of Man dwelling in me, and it's perfect right now where it is.
Amen.
It's the complete revelated word of God living in a house of God.
Amen.
And if I get any information from you, thank God.
Right.
If you can help me, thank God.
Right.
If you can't help me, thank God. But if it comes to going to the rapture, I'm ready if I never hear another service.
Amen.
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 So don't mistake me going out to these churches and visiting and having people in as me looking for something different.
No.
You can't add to this.
No.
And you can't take away from this.
Right.
I'm just trying to take what we have and share.
Right.
If they want it.
Right.
Our knowledge of the mystery. That's what I tell them when I go overseas. I'm just here to share my knowledge of the mystery. If you don't want it, don't worry about it. If you want it, I'm here to help you, and I'll give you the next step. But if you don't want it, just let me get back on that plane in one piece, and I'm good. When I went to New Zealand with Brother Parnell years and years ago, the churches down there called around the churches up here in a country in the United States called New Zealand and told them not to let us in. Show you how church people are. They let us buy our airline tickets,
yep.
Fly all the way to New Zealand, didn't even meet us at the airport. We're going to let us land and stand in the airport and not even be hospitable to us to at least put us up and send us home. That's our message, people. Devils. I wouldn't treat my enemy that way. But Brother Mita,
yes.
The one man in New Zealand, came to the airport to meet us. Didn't even know him from Adam. He walked up and said, my name is Brother Mita, and I just thought I'd come and meet you brothers here because I know they called around and said that we're not letting none of the preachers let you in. Talk about denominational spirit. That's as denominational as it gets. But Brother Mita said, I'm going to take you home with me. See, what we didn't know, he had already told his church, his deacons, says, now, I'm going to go and talk to them at the hotel. And if I bring them back and put them in a hotel for a week, then that means they're not good brothers and we don't want anything to do with them. Now, we didn't know this. He said, but if I bring them to my home, then the brothers are okay. So he come to the hotel with me and Parnell, and he sat and he told us then, he said, I don't read brothers' books, and I don't get people's notes and this and that. And he tells all the things about Brother Mita because we didn't know him. And that's the only reason he came. He said, I came to the airport because I thought it's a shame that our country would embarrass themselves by not taking care of you guys when you come to our country. That's the kind of man he is. He said, so I came to get you. But we didn't know the rest of the story till later. By the end of the week, when we got ready to leave, Brother Mita asked me, he said, do you mind if I keep your notes? Because I had some notes for him. He's like, you mind if I keep those? I said, I thought you didn't keep people's notes. He said, well, I want these. So I gave them to him. And then he told us, he said, I told the brothers that if I took you to the hotel that you were not good brothers and we're just going to keep you for a week and then send you home. But then he took us to his own house and kept us. And Brother Mead is a good brother. He's a good brother. Good brother. And I will always appreciate what he did. But that's people will do dirty to you. People are dirty. And under the guise of Christianity. And it's like, it's almost amazing how dirty people can be and call themselves Christians as far as the way they treat each other, the way they try to do each other, to try to backstab each other and down each other. It's amazing. They're not living in the day of the Son of Man. I didn't see Jesus do that to anybody. He tried to help everybody he could. You know, when we get to the day of the Son of Man, that is the same as the year of Jubilee.
Yeah.
Won't get to it, it's going to close. But the year of Jubilee, when that trumpet sound,
yes.
You have an option. That's why I said everybody can't go into the day of the Son of Man. You have an option to move into this day of freedom or to stay in bondage and go through your rituals and go through your rules and your laws and try to make yourself holy and try, you can stay here and do that. But in the year of Jubilee, you have the ability to step into the day of the Son of Man. But if you refuse to do that, he'll bore your ear. You'll never hear the revelation. You'll never get satisfied. You'll never get to a point. You'll go back to that slave owner and stay there for the rest of your days. You'll keep that same denominational tradition going on in your church, round and around and around. You'll never do any better. You'll never get any better. You'll never grow. And if I check with you in 10 years, you'll be doing the same thing. If you go to a church and 10 years later, they're doing the same thing they did when you were there, they've had their ear bored. If you come to this church and you're doing the same thing year after year, you've had your ear bored. You could sit in these benches all you want. You'll be spiritually in the same place in 5 years as you were 5 years ago. You won't move. You won't grow. You won't change. You'll have your own ideals. You'll have your own thinking. And all because you refuse to step in the day of the Son of Man. You can do that here, church. Just because you're in 1744 Superior Avenue don't mean that you're safe. You got to step into this day willingly. You got to accept what the prophet brought. You got to accept it into your own self. And you got to become one with the Word. Not me come one with the Word. I'm already one with the Word. I ain't worried about me. I'm worried about you.
Right.
I ain't talking to me. I'm talking to you.
Right.
I'm saying, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life.
Right.
These are they that testified. I'm telling you the truth. We've moved into the day of the Son of Man. And most people will not follow us in here. Most people didn't follow Jesus in. Only 120. My sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's John chapter 10. That's what Jesus said, verse 2. The church will go through the tribulation, but the bride will not. We're not going through. I won't read the quote, but he said it in a token. And the bride's taking that book. We've talked about Revelations 10, 8 through 11. That's how you move into this day. Take the book and eat it. Because you become the Word. You are what you eat. You become the Word. You have all the answers. You know everything. Now, the hour that we're living in, we're sitting here with perfect vision of everything. All that was, is, and is to come. We know all of it. We're not blind on anything. We've taken that book. What book? The book of the open seals that God gave to the prophet in Revelations 10, 1 through 7. In verse 8, we've taken that book and we've eaten it. And you've done it because you chose to do it. We didn't force it down your throat. We're not making you come into the day of the Son of Man. Only people coming into the day of the Son of Man who people who are willingly wanting to do it. You take the book and eat it. And John said, I asked for that book. You got to ask for this book. Before you can walk in this day, you got to ask for it. You got to want it. You got to say, Lord, I need this. I want this. I want to have all the answers. And not just to be a show off and know it all, but when you have answers, you have rest. When you go to a math test and you don't know the answers, that's where you're sweating. But when you go in and you studied and you know the answers backwards and forwards, and you can start at the last question, go back to the first question, because you know you're going to have plenty of time, because you don't have to take all. I always used to jump around. Because I'd know some of it, and I didn't know some of it. So I knew the answer to one, and I look at two and like, go to three. Lord, four. There's only 10 questions. Let's try number 5. I know number 5, so I got 2 right. And then you go under 6, I'm not quite sure. I'll come back. 7, 8, I got. 9, 10, I understood. So I got 5 of them. That's only 50%. It's like, okay, now I got to figure out the rest. So you go back to 2 again and you try to figure out, what does it sound good? And then you try to figure out which answer sounds. So I've been through all that. And then when you get all the ones that you know, you get those done, then you get the ones you think done, then you go to the ones that are just eeny, meeny, miny, moe. But that's the way we lived under the church world doctrine. But now we know, and we know that he's come, and he has given us, and understanding. We know what it is now. We're living and walking and moving in the day of the Son of Man. We're not trying to figure this out. I know what it is. I'm not trying to figure if I'm going to heaven. Yes, I'm going to heaven. I'm not trying to figure if I'm taking my loved ones. They're going with me because they're part of my reward. And yes, I will get the dead up.
Amen.
And yes, we will get out of here.
Yes.
And no, we won't go through the tribulation period. We got all these answers.
Amen.
Because we're living in the day of the Son of Man.
Right.
The day that Jesus said you're going to long for. We're here, people.
Yeah.
They long to do what you can do. They long to know what you can know. They long to be who you are.
Right.
When you get over there, they're going to say, man, you actually walked in the day of the Son of Man. Yes, that was us. That was us.
Yeah.
You didn't worry about your salvation. Nah, not a bit. When's the last time you worried about going to hell? When's the last time we preached a message about you going to hell? Escaping the fires of hell. When's the last time we worried about, well, your loved ones, you better pray for them. Pray for them hard, because our loved ones are out there living it up, and you're almost jealous because they're having a good old time. You're like, they ain't worried about nothing. They're living it up, and you're like, oh, I got you. And you sacrifice your life, and you live like you do, and you give for God, and you sacrifice, and they're out there. They think they're just out there just living it up, and you're following God and saying, Lord, thank you for my reward. Thank you for what you're giving me. When we get over there, you're gonna be a powerful group of people.
Yes.
That they're gonna want you. Do you think they want to shake Paul's hand? They're gonna want to shake your hand.
Wow.
Paul didn't get him up. You did.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
They're gonna want to meet you. You walked in the day
yes.
that Jesus said you're gonna want to see, and here we are. Here we are, little bride.
Amen.
Living this day. A momentary consideration of church history will prove how accurate the thought is. In the Dark Ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people. But God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at the time. But they organized. And again, the pure word was lost for organization. Trends towards dogmas and creeds, and not simply the word, not simply word. They could no longer speak for God. God sent Wesley, and he was a voice with the word for his day. The people took his revelation from God because they were living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so it has gone through the years until the last day. There is again another people in the land who under their messenger, I like the way he said that, under their prophet, under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Yes, sir, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It is his own mouthpiece. So God has turned on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride. Because we're living in that Son of Man age together. The bride, for the voice of God will be in her. Yes, it is. For it says in the last chapter, Revelation verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Amen.
Once more, the world will hear direct from God as it's Pentecost. But of course, the word bride will be repudiated as in the first age. We are the final voice to the final age. We are the only ones that stepped out of Laodicea and stepped into the day of the Son of Man. The day that Jesus prophesied was going to come. The day that he said they're going to want to long to be here to do what you're being able to do. This is that day. This is that group. That's who we are. We're a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. That voice of God is in the bride. And we are the final voice to the final age, walking in this Son of Man day that no one has been able to experience like we can. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning Thank you for your word and how it means so much to us to be able to understand this day that we're living in. So grateful to be a part. Out of all the days, I love to be in this golden age. To not just be around this word, but to be the very word for the hour. We are the final voice to the final age. And there's no one else on the face of the earth that can understand what we can see outside of the bride. We thank you for this privilege to be who we are. Oh, some people look at us as a chore, but Lord, it's a privilege. We thank you for it and ask you to help us, Lord, if we've never looked at it just right. Let us look at it closer. Let us learn to lean on that Son of Man that's in us. That's guiding and directing us. And it doesn't take long to get an answer from you now, Lord. You're here. You're in skin. It's easy to see you. Help us, Lord, to just press towards that mark and let it have its perfect work in our lives. And it will. Thank you for how you've blessed us in so many ways. Help us to just press towards that mark of the high calling that you've called us to. And when, Lord, this battle's done, Lord, let us just take that cross that we're carrying and take it to Calvary, lay it down, and move up into glory with you. Thank you, Father, for it all. Be with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. Come back tonight at 7. Let's see what the Lord has for us. Go believing God. Go believing the God that's in you. That we're living in that day that people long to see. And here we are right now. There has never